الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا فقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم When we were on our way to Jumu'ah today, we decided to park a few blocks away in order to facilitate the entire traffic because of the construction. And now all of us should be aware that the forthcoming months are going to be a little difficult. And then it'll pay off dividends in the end. There'll be better traffic and easier parking for everyone, inshallah, and better traffic flow. When we were walking, I have a tendency to walk fast. It's actually the sunnah of the Prophet to walk fast, so I try to imitate that. So my boys were behind me, and they were sort of jogging or running to keep pace. So I kept instructing them, don't walk fast, don't walk fast. And it seems the question on their mind was basically that, you know, we could potentially be late. Like, even in a situation like this, should we not walk fast? We shouldn't run. Walking fast is fine, but we shouldn't run. And if you look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited running when going to the masjid. Now, if you look at this hadith and the understanding of the hadith, we see a few elements that are very, very important in our lives. The first is that sometimes a command or a recommendation will contradict logic. Sometimes a command from the Prophet ﷺ or a recommendation will contradict logic. In that case, the idea of submission, udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa, that refers to an individual putting logic under submission. Submission comes first, whether or not it makes sense. For example, when Shaytan was ordered to bow down to Adam alayhi salam, he gave a very logical reason. Khalaqtani min nar, you made me from fire. Wa khalaqtahu min teen, you made him from dirt. I'm not going to bow down to him. Well, it doesn't make sense. I'm a greater element. In this case, I should not be bowing down to someone made of dirt. So that was his logic. When Musa, alayhi salam, according to narration, met Shaytan in his life, he asked Shaytan a simple question. Why didn't you bow down to Adam, alayhi salam? Shaytan gave a very logical answer. He said, how could I bow down to other than Allah? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very logical answer. So in both of these responses, we see logic there would have won the day had logic been what we are asked to abide by. But sometimes logic has to come secondary. Not always, sometimes. In this case, when you come to the masjid, it makes sense logically if we're running late to run. Now we have cars, people drive faster, it's a little more dangerous. When the times of Sahaba, when they would run to the masjid, no one's going to be run over by another pedestrian running. You run, you quicken, you hasten your step. But here the Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited it. Why? Because there's a deeper wisdom here. And from the various wisdoms that exist, one of the deeper wisdom is the fact that an individual, when something is important for him or her, should prepare such that they're not running around last minute. You know, if I have a very important exam and I put it off in last minute, I begin to prepare, I'm not going to do well. If I have a very important job interview and then all of a sudden last minute I throw on my suit and I drive 100 miles per hour down 94 to get to whatever exit it may be to get off and then take the interview, I'll be running in, I'll be sweating, I'll have ring around the collar from all that sweat, I'll be out of breath, they'll ask me to speak, what is your name? I'll be like, my name is Saad, and I'll give a very poor impression. A very poor impression. When something is important to an individual, time should be utilized in such a way that we put the importance for that item first. For example, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ Verily the prayer, كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Upon the believers, كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا has been established at a set time. Allah Ta'ala let us know in advance when we're praying, so we can organize our days in such a way that we know when to take our lunch break, when to take a quick break, to step out to, you know, go find a corner in the office and just pray four quick rak'ah and come back. We know how to do that, because Allah Ta'ala established that for us. It's not like every morning He reveals five new prayer times, and some days we're wondering, oh, I hope all five don't fall within the workday. No, He spread it out throughout the day, throughout the night, so we know exactly how to deal with that time. He taught us to value time. Kitabun mawquta, it's established. We do it at the time it's supposed to be done, and we don't do it at the time it's not supposed to be done. If someone feels very special one day and decides to pray through sunrise and sunset, they've actually sinned against Allah Ta'ala. We have established timings for things that are important. Now Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala actually swears by a component of time in Quran, where He says, wal asr, that He takes an oath by time, or a component of time. And then He follows it by a description of people, two descriptions of people who utilize time in two different ways. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ Verily mankind, they are losing out. They're in a state of loss. Why? Because going back to the initial verse, they're not utilizing their time properly. Now this happens for various reasons. Sometimes a person doesn't utilize his time properly because he assumes, or she assumes, I have a lot of time to go. For case in point, high school and college students, they see exams are 2 months away. I have a lot of time. I have a lot of time. I have a lot of time. All of a sudden, one day, they're looking at the calendar and they think, oh, my project is due tomorrow. My paper is due tomorrow. And they've mismanaged their time. Now, that actually has a deadline, but the deadline of our life, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ, the أَجَل that we have, the time frame that we have, we don't know that deadline. Literally, deadline. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left that unknown for us. Now there's a wisdom behind it that maybe we'll touch upon today. I don't think we'll have the time for it, no pun intended, but that's exactly what it refers to, that we don't have the time for it. But the idea basically is every person begins to see that I have a certain amount of time to use in my day. And I have certain things I have to get done. So one of the things I have to get done is I have to worship my Lord. I have to pray to my Lord to the times that He's assigned me to pray. I should interact with the Quran in a way because this is my guiding book. Just like when I get a new job, they give me the employee manual, I go through it. When they sign me to a contract, I read that contract completely. This is my opportunity to enter into paradise. Let me go through that manual. Every day I'll take up a piece of time. Or a person might say, you know, every day, every few days when I drive, my car needs more fuel. I go to the gas station, I fill it up. It's something I have to make time for. If I don't, then I'll be late to work because the car would have broken down somewhere. In that same way, spiritually, every day I have to stop off at the filling station. The masjid is here. I can't get all five prayers in. I'll get one prayer in. I'll try to get two prayers in. Okay, every day is hard because I live far away. Every few days I'll come once in a while. That way I can fill myself with that spiritual fuel. But that doesn't happen randomly. It doesn't just happen one day I get up and I think to myself, I want to go to the masjid. There are timings established. So I have to begin to rotate my schedule such that I can take advantage of that time. Now time, those people who abuse it and misuse it, it's because one, they think they have much time ahead of them. Anyone who's alive, no one is a 9-year-old child, a 7-year-old child thinking to himself or herself that, oh, I might die the next moment. They think I have years and years. My dad has this many gray hair, doesn't have gray any hair anymore. My mom has this many wrinkles, etc. I have so much time left. Very few people are astute enough to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left our deadline, our death, a mystery because it can come at any moment. So along with the fact that it looks like I have forever, the truth could be I only have a few minutes left. And when someone has only a few moments left, then they push to accomplish their goal. A runner who's trying to beat the world record has a few moments left, will push himself hard. He or she will run across the finish line and collapse in a heap. Knowing that I exerted every amount of energy necessary, and now I've gained my goal. The person who enters into paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to forever gain rest in paradise, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, because they've allowed themselves to exert every muscle, every ounce of effort they can in this world to attain that reward. Now, the other delusion that comes to people, sometimes, along with thinking we have a lot of time, we sometimes can't manage what's important. So the student, what is the student told in advance? Look, attendance is worth 10%. Exams are worth 40%. Tests are worth 15%. Homework's worth 15%. You know, so we're given these percentages. We know what's important and what's not important. Why? Because if not, then one student will say, well, I'm not good at exams. I'll just come every day. But they don't recognize that's only 10% of their grades. If they fail the exam and they get that 10% to make up for it, they've really lost out in the end. So a person has to recognize what's more important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established 5 things, the first for entry into the deen, then 4 other things that have the utmost importance. What's the first one? Prayer. The first of the actions that will be accountable on the Day of Judgment is what? The salah. If it's in order, then all the other actions will be in order. Now look at the beauty of this hadith. And this hadith highlights 2 things. One, if a person prays, then things will be easier for them. And we know on the Day of Judgment that will grant them a light in the time of darkness, etc. But secondly, when a person prays, then what they're likely doing is they're ordering their schedule, they're ordering the time in such a way where they're prioritizing and doing things when they're supposed to be doing it. So in that regard, all of a sudden, prayer actually has a residual effect on other things. Those people who are punctual in prayer are often, not always, punctual in other things as well. They are punctual people. And those people who are running in at the end, aside from that, people obviously have very valid excuses, but sometimes those who don't, it's usually a sign of other things to come within their lives as well. So prayer has that residual effect, salah. Then comes zakah. Zakah, only 2.5%, 1/40th of the wealth of an individual. Now, how do we know this is important? Because when the Prophet ﷺ established these 5 things, he said, "Bunyan Islam ala al-khams." That Islam has been established upon 5 things. 5 things have been basically set down as the demarcations for the foundation of Islam. Foundations are the most important thing a person has to understand within his life. If my foundations are weak in any science, I'm going to do poorly in that science. If a person does not get his core strength, his core muscle strong, no matter how many auxiliary exercises he does, he's going to fall short. The core is important. So Islam has been established on 5. The Shahada makes us Muslim. We just covered Salah. Zakah. Zakah maintains the community. Many people who do not give zakah think it's only a personal thing between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is those who do not are causing harm to other people. Because money is not, you see, Islam is not capitalist, nor is it communist. It doesn't say everything you get is only for yourself, nor does it say what you get is for everyone. There is a capitalist element there. You earn, that's your right. May Allah reward you and put barakah on that wealth. You can use it how you please. But in essence, it comes from Allah, so He has a right over it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَأَمْوَالُهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ. Allah has purchased 2 items from us, ourselves, our lives, and our, what? Our wealth, in return for paradise. Thus, that zakah is an ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So what does he want? He doesn't need the money for himself. He just wants it to be distributed to other people so they can benefit from some of the wealth that you benefited from, and everyone can live in a situation and position where everyone has some honor and dignity within life. Then comes Sawm. Sawm is another right over us that we fast within the month of Ramadan. Any extra fast, alhamdulillah for the person who does it. And then for those capable, then comes Hajj. If they have the financial, the physical capabilities, they perform Hajj. This is the priority within our lives. Then comes another priority. Kasbul halal fariidun ba'd al-fariida. Earning a halal income is a mandatory act after the mandatory acts I just mentioned. So a person can't just say, well, you know, I'm going to go and perform 10 umrahs a year and miss work every month for 15 days and they shouldn't have a problem. It's my religious right. No. Fariidatun ba'd al-fariida. You have to establish the amana that is work. A person can't go to work and fool around and then say, well, why did they fire me? A person can't go to work and spend, you know, 5 hours on GChat or whatever people spend time on the computer. Nowadays, things have obviously advanced. And they're not doing all their work completely and say, well, I should get a full paycheck. No, this is an amana. Fariidatun ba'd al-fariida. It's a mandatory act. Then there's serving human beings. We have to serve people. Al-'iyalu khalqillah. There is a khidmah that we owe to everyone around us. So these are the priorities we should look at, and we should recognize that all of them take a certain spot in my day. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. أَهْلِهَا has 2 meanings here. To the family itself or the people deserving of it. So we have to fulfill the responsibilities within the family or grant the amount to those deserving of it. So we have to see that time is our greatest tool. Time is our greatest tool. It's a double-edged sword. It's also our greatest enemy. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Verily, mankind is at loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except for those who do what? With that small piece of time that they have. The 30, 40, 50, 60 years that they live, they do what? They believe. وَعَمِنُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they show the fruits of their belief through worship. And then they do what? The khidmah I mentioned of people. وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. They turn to people and they begin to call them, enjoin them, encourage them to do good, to come to the truth. And they call people, they enjoin people, they invite people, they encourage people towards patience. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters who are listening, that please recognize the following, that we have very few moments in this life. And this is the greatest treasure. You know, what's that one saying that comes into your inbox every few months that there's, if you had X amount of dollars in your bank account every day and, you know, 86,000 something or 84,000 something, or whatever the amount is. And every day, whatever you don't deposit, you lose forever. And then they say, well, you have that amount of seconds every day, whatever you don't utilize, you lose forever. That's very true. That's very true. And then they say, and time is a gift. That's why it's called the present. That's definitely true. All of it's great wisdoms. I want to give you one wisdom from the Prophet ﷺ. He said something very, very beautiful. He said, every day the sun rises. The sun rises and says what? O children of Adam, I am a new day. Take advantage of me, for you will not see me again until the end of time. If you knew you had something very rare that you can never attain again, we would all take advantage of it. So this sun that has risen upon us today and will set upon us today and the rotation of the axis of the sun and earth that around our orbit, which will cause it to rise tomorrow and again after what? We have to take advantage of those moments. So I encourage myself first and foremost, for I'm very lazy and I don't take advantage of my moments. Take advantage of my moments, you take advantage of your moments. How do we do that? Think of what we can do at every moment that'll be beneficial. I'm driving the car. For some people, listening to NPR is beneficial. They should do so. For other people, it's not beneficial. For some people who need to know what's going on, there's actually a beneficial element there. For other people, they don't need to. They should be listening to a lecture or doing dhikr or revising Quran. For other people, Quran is actually detrimental in the car. They should sit and give them a moment for reflection because they've not allowed their minds, i.e. their hearts, to speak what's inside of it. So look at every moment and see, what do I need to do at this moment to accomplish my goal, which is what? The pleasure of Allah and protection. Because the maqasid of Sharia, they're not just Jannah, Jannah, Jannah. We have to protect our wealth. We have to protect our lineage. There's many things we protect that seem quote-unquote worldly, but they actually aid a person to enter into Jannah. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who work very hard to take advantage of every moment. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those that any moment we lost, that He, because of our intention, allows us to receive full reward despite its loss. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to raise amongst us on the Day of Judgment as those individuals who took advantage of every moment of time. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.